Any issue of authority and operating in spiritual authority as a bench, whether it's within a nation or a church or across nations, all of it has to flow out of relationship. And therefore, the symbolism of what you've seen and where you went is very key in understanding that everything that you're going to administer in the kingdom is going to come out of that place of intimacy that you have with him, but also together. Relational intimacy, openness, a culture of honor within benches is absolutely vital. It has to be a relational connection, and that relationship will have to be one where we're willing to be open and honest and transparent and talk to each other and communicate with each other and sometimes challenge each other and share what we see in the realm of the spirit around each other. And all those things go towards establishing, the relationship you have with God, that then you outwork that in the relationship you have with each other, and then that releases a sense of unity and a greater sense of purpose. As you were saying, it's a greater sense of purpose, which then releases a greater sense of authority, and God gives you greater dimensions of authority when he sees that you're faithful with what you're doing. Then he entrusts you with more as you go forward, so it is a the symbolism of our encounters, is not to be taken lightly, because it does often give us a deeper understanding of what it is that God's doing with us. And and then particularly afterwards, if you then feel, as you said, I feel more connected, I feel, because it's become a place within your heart, and you carry something now of the desires of your heart, and the pool in the Garden of God, I always find a really special place, because I found there that there's the revelation of his thoughts about me, which again gives me identity and a sense of understanding his purpose for my life and everything, which comes out of knowing the things he says about me and the things he thinks about me, which are always very special, intimate things that he reveals to us to enable us to come from that place in the future. So we minister out of the relationship that we have with him and with each other, to release authority, and particularly in the sense of unity, we know it releases and commands a blessing, and that blessing is what we release. That which we receive, then we can release. We can't release what we haven't received, so we have to be in a place of intimacy to receive, so we can release it out those places. So, yeah, well, that's good.
Actually, some of the things you just said, we experienced that too. Because I, in this encounter, I didn't see, I was a sensor, but definitely, when we encountered, the two of us encountered going into his heart, we could feel, or I could feel, I think Elizabeth could see, but I could feel, we started leaving this pool and going down. A vortex kind of opened, a portal kind of opened, and we went down into it, and could feel it tightening, the space getting smaller. What was a tunnel then became smaller, and then the revelation came that, oh, this is like an artery into a heart. Not that God has a physical heart, but that was the sense, I guess, I needed to know to feel that I was there. But just, yeah, those sensations were just very real, and even though I couldn't see them, the others could see them, and they would describe what they were seeing, and I'd describe what I was sensing, and so there was a unity of of experience that was very precious. And then there were a couple of times when we debated about the route back, or not debated, but discussed, well, do we just think to get there, or are we going to encounter more? And so there was a a team building. It was a team building exercise, I think. And I think two of us were in the heart, and Anna was just out swinging in the galaxies, having a great time inside him in this great expanse of eternity. So, yeah, it was a very neat binding experience, I think, for the three of us. Yeah. We hope to continue and try that too. I know lie busting isn't exactly your ministry, but I was just going to ask you, have you lie busted a place like Jonathan has mentioned before?
Not personally. I think we have, we've received the training, and we're still having some ongoing sessions. And so I think this week, actually, or next week after, I'm getting my dates right, 30th, Wednesday the 30th, he's actually doing a session on lie busting places and, you know, geography and different things. I mean, essentially, it's the same process. You know, you ask God to reveal what are the lies or the things he wants to deal with over an area or a city or a town or a region, whatever it might be.
Mm-hmm.
And follow the same process through. You know, ask him to give you revelation of, you know, where generationally these things started, or, you know, the same sort of questions. I think you may tailor the questions towards, obviously, a culture or whatever it is that it reveals, but it's basically then standing identificationally on behalf of and, you know, reintegrating things in the community, dealing with any demonic things that are there as a result of those things which have been generationally done in the past. So there may be things in the ground, you know, like the blood of Abel cried out from the ground.
Right. Yeah.
Maybe things that cry out in it. So you know, definitely, I think there's, you know, using. Whether you sort of use specific lie busting, whether you basically just ask God the questions and mm-hmm. receive the revelation, it's much the same. You know, I've got a whole teaching on how to use trauma in your life to bring transformation, and it was exactly the same thing. Ask God, why did I react that way? What was my response? Where was it rooted? Was it a correct response? Was it not a correct response? You know, did this come generationally? You know, and, you know, it's just because it's all about a relationship in which we can hear him and see him and speak to him and get a flow of his answers and revelation back to us. And so I would, you know, in the whole process of engaging in intimacy, it's so that we can speak to him and get his revelation on what we need to do. And if it's about a place, or particularly if you're operating as a bench of three over an area or a specific sphere of influence or that God's given, then, you know, we need to know, okay, what gives the enemy access to hinder or block what we're doing? You know, what's operating in the atmosphere of the earth? You know, what are the lies? And the same sort of process would be, you are asking God for revelation. You can also go to the court and find what the accusations are against your area or your region and demand the enemy shows you. They're all basically similar tools. You know, one is asking God for what he wants to do, and sometimes we need to ask the enemy what legal right he's got. Because then in bringing the enemy into the court, then we have him in the right place to release judgment against him.
Right.
You know, and so that is also a good process to follow when we're looking to deal with blockages or hindrances or legal rights that might be, you know, over an area or a particular thing. So then we can then look to deal with them, you know, because we will be standing identificationally in any way if it's over an area. And if we've been given authority in it, then we then can use that authority to remove whatever it is that the enemy has right over and establish our own authority administering the kingdom through the authority we've been given by God. And then we can start calling things and declaring and establishing things in the heavens, and so that they can be established on earth. So yeah, I think definitely that type of going to God for revelation in various forms is what we need to do when we're seeking to be able to administer the kingdom, because it's not all plain sailing. We've got to realize that the culture and the places that we are involved with, they worship the enemy, not knowingly, most of them, but by operating in fear or poverty mentality or other things, they empower the enemy to reinforce that cultural perspective or that mindsets or ways of thinking that happen over particular areas or cities, that then we then can begin to deal with them from a perspective of revelatory understanding, you know. And the key is we do it, you know, by going into the realm of heaven to do it, and we certainly administer out of the realm of heaven rather than, well, we're here, standing here, trying to get God to come and do something here. Well, no, we go, and then we bring through us as a gateway, or we open up everlasting doors over an area to release blessing, to release glory into that sphere that we're specifically, you know, dealing with at the time. So, yeah, although I've not personally done a lie bust over things, I've done other types of ministry in the same way to discern what it is. And I think, to be honest, God isn't as much worried about how we do it, just the fact we do it and we go and seek Him to be able to do it, really. So.
Right. Yeah, and I guess follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. If it's something that you need an immediate judgment on, then you would go to the courts. If you need just a release, then you could do a lie bust to discover what the hold is in you. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Can I just ask your insight into something personal that happened with me?
Yeah.
Sure. It was during a lie bust, actually. It wasn't mine. But I was beginning to identify things in my past that were the same with a woman who was being lie busted, and so I just allowed God to do the lie bust. I think Jonathan was doing it, so I was just following along and stopping to let God minister His thoughts to me, and just dealing with some stuff that I hadn't really thought much about or dealt with in the past. It was really His time. But in the middle of the lie bust, I spent some time just being in His presence before I turned it back on to continue, and I just sensed a pulling, and I just, you know, just said whatever, you know, wherever, whatever, and gave God permission. And again, not seeing, it wasn't a visual experience at all. It was just a real sense experience of being in God's presence, but where I sensed that we were, and what we were doing was working, you know, in Japan with dealing with the radiation leaks on the power plant. And it sounds fantastical and everything, but it seemed very real, you know, working on containing the leak, working on bringing restoration and cleansing to the waters and to the air, and then turning and allowing God to begin to change DNA, you know, that had been damaged to the island itself and to the people. And it was just, and then when it was done, back to the lie bust session and continue on with that healing, and it was the first time that it was, you know, I've ever encountered anything like that, I just thought I'd put it out there for your thoughts about that.
Sure, yeah. Well, basically, because you placed yourself, you know, in an intimate place with God, then he was able to grab your attention, and in effect, it's just like being trans-relocated in the spirit into a different place, a different sphere to begin to operate. I mean, years ago, I think similar things used to happen when people would begin to pray in tongues for somebody or for a situation, you know, seemingly just come into their heart and they would begin to just pray in tongues and they wouldn't know what they were doing, but they would just felt, I need to pray in tongues for a person or a situation. And I think that was at the level that people could operate then, because there wasn't the revelation of being taken in the spirit to engage with it. But so now I believe that the deeper revelation is there and the deeper connection and engagement with heaven and the realms of the spirit, that now we can be taken there in the spirit and begin to administer the kingdom as God releases the authority to do it, and we work with him and he's giving the revelation, as you say, as we go, to be able to minister, and we start speaking, changing things, because that's the authority that we've got. You know, when you see people engage in things like that, it's, you know, God is using you because you're willing and available, and that you've shown faithfulness in the things in the past, I'm sure. And so he's seeing, I can entrust you with greater things. And, you know, some people get to go on the timeline, some people get to engage in different dimensional things because he can trust us to do it. And so, you know, it's a sign that you've been faithful and that he's rewarding that faithfulness with a greater level of interaction and responsibility to administer into those things. And, you know, we have to expect much more of that. And as we learn to mature and learn to develop in terms of sonship, kingship, then we will begin to administer those things out of our own heart's desires, because they will have been aligned with our destiny, and they will draw us into us taking the initiative in doing those things. Whereas God is tutoring us, so he's taking you there, showing you what to do, giving you insight into it, so that in the future, you will be able to do those things from birth out of the desires that are connected to your destiny that will enable you to operate in that authority out of those things. And therefore, you will be able to operate in not just under his lordship, but in kingship, and therefore having the ability to go to the court of kings and to establish laws and to establish new things and to change things. So it's excellent, you know, really good. I'm sure a forerunner of many more type of those experiences to come, in which, you know, God is just going to open things up. You know, and there's, you know, we just need those, you know, mind expanding revelatory encounters that just take the blinkers off and remove the restrictions. And so, wow, yeah, I can do that. Yeah, God's taken me and shown me, and he's teaching me how to do things that I didn't know I could do. You know, and I think it's just awesome that that those things take place, you know. Yeah, and they do when we position ourselves in the right place to be able to respond, you know, which you're obviously doing, so it's excellent.
Well, thank you. And I'm glad I asked, because afterwards, when I forget why I saw, maybe I went to my mountain after the lie bust, and I saw in just a quick little glimpse on one of the mountains, there was like a Japanese flag flying over top.
All right, yeah.
So, and we did, it just seemed right to do some prayers before Passover, you know, putting the blood over the household. And when I began to pray, Japan came as well. I just prayed for his blood to be applied there. And again, I could just feel God's heart, you know, the tears just coming. And that's happened a couple of times. So I think, you know, in the encounter, because I certainly didn't have anything in the natural, but afterwards from the encounter, I've just felt more of his heart, I guess, towards the nation. And I think from hearing you talk before, that's an important part too. I guess that's part of carrying something in your heart then, besides your own natural family and relationships and physical sphere.
Absolutely, because I mean, you know, one of your mountains is obviously to do with authority within that nation, you know, and that's in a sense why, you know, why God was able to take you, because you carry that as a mandate, and therefore you've been authorized to have authority within that nation, and you know, as you saw it, you know, that's the sort of things that we begin to see, you know, a flag representing the nation, you know, and you know, you will have that on your scroll of destiny. You will have that nation there as a nation that's has been assigned to you. I mean, it sounds all very grand, but it's just God's desire for us, and it's part of what it was agreed, you know, in eternity with our spirit, that we would have connection in those areas. And now we're just discovering what's always been there, but it's now being unveiled. And the more we spend time in the presence of God, the more the desires of our heart will be aligned and drawn towards those things that are there within our scrolls. And I think a lot of people, they just want to see their scroll, you know, and some people, when they see it, are quite disappointed with what they see, because they're almost like, well, I was expecting some amazing writing of everything of my life, but it's not really like that. It's our scroll contains not the daily things we do, like, oh, you know, put on these color socks or wear that jumper, or, you know, it doesn't work that way. It is things where there are kingdom spheres of authority that we have been given to us to outwork, ministries that we have to outwork, you know, that's really what it's about, you know. And often people see their scroll and they see it in a symbolic form, you know, so you may see your scroll or feel, but by looking at the mountain and seeing the Japanese flag, it's an indication that is part of the mandate that you have according to that scroll. And all those things, you know, begin then to draw us. And the closer we get to God, the more our heart's desires get aligned, and we start to vibrate and resonate with the frequency that He's spoken over us. So, you know, when you were talking earlier about being in the heart of God, you know, we've all come out of the heart of God, because mm-hmm. that's where He imagined us and thought about us before He ever formed us.
Right.
You know? And then He formed us out of what He had within His heart for us. So all the vast sum of the thoughts He has for us are contained within His heart. You know, and we get various ways of engaging in it. You know, I go to His garden, and that's where I seem to engage His heart a lot. You know, but where you see it going into and feeling that you're contained within His heart, you know, that they're all sort of, in a sense, communicating the same thing to us, that we mm-hmm. can engage with such intimacy, and you can begin to feel the rhythm or His heartbeat and come into alignment with it. And again, Jesus felt moved by compassion, because that compassion was something that He felt that came out of the heart of God. You know, He was also moved by anger, because God sometimes is angry, not with us, but with things which are affecting and damaging and hurting people's lives. And sometimes we can be moved by an indignant moving to action, so that we actually are, you know, moved forcibly to do something, because we're feeling that the real sense of passion and desire in His heart for something. And the more we spend time with Him, the more our hearts become attuned and aligned and come into agreement, and the desires lead us to those things. And then we find, as what happened with you, you find yourself doing something and drawn into something because it was always there, but you've now connected with it in a more tangible, experiential way. You know, in the past, you may well have prayed for Japan, or you may well have just prayed prayers, but now you get to go and administer things. You get to go and change things and to be creative in releasing things and restoring things and bringing things back into order. You know, so, you know, it's just the progressive nature of our coming into an understanding of who we are as sons. And, you know, that is a progressive nature. Most of us over years have been faithful to be good stewards of that which God has given us. And we've operated in this realm as good stewards of the ministries and the revelation that we've had. But now we get to become friends and then lords to outwork what he shows us, you know, and then kings and sons, you know. And so we're on this journey into the full revelation of the manifest sons of God. So God can manifest on us on the earth, you know, clothed with his glory and shining, operating in the fullness of that creative power that we've had that has been lost and now is being restored and recovered. And we get to be part of that restoration, which is great, isn't it, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the way that you describe it, you know, it's just a sense of the outworking of what's written on our scrolls. That it comes with a sense of peace, I guess, but not also not with a sense of surprise. It's almost like, okay, yeah, and there's a settledness about it.
Yeah, just like this is how it was always meant to be.
Yeah.
You know, and it feels like that because it was always meant to be, and we're just connecting up with it. So it's really good. Yeah.
I just caught a glimpse of. I've never really bothered much with Lance Wallnau's teachings, but he talked about. In the one I saw about the 100th monkey, and or that tipping point of revelation that gets reached. And so, did you hear about that experiment?
No, not really.
Okay, so they took sweet potatoes. They had a monkey island, an island with rhesus monkeys. I forget where it was. It's an actual experiment that they did, and they introduced sweet potatoes to see what the monkeys would do collectively with this new item in their isolated island. And they watched as one of them tried to taste it, but it was covered in sand. And so one enterprising monkey used it as a ball and was kicking it around, and it landed in the water. And he went in to get it, and he's playing with it, and it's not covered in sand anymore. So he takes a bite. And he discovers how great sweet potatoes are. And then all the monkeys join in, and they're eating the sweet potatoes. There's a sister island next door and in real life, and they were also watching the monkeys there. And the monkeys there, because these monkeys on this island discovered sweet potatoes, these monkeys now, when they were introduced to sweet potatoes, they knew what to do with them right away. They were all eating and enjoying them. So that's was part of the motivation behind sharing that, was because in sharing what had happened there, it could take the lid off for someone else to go and begin to do you know, to have their encounters, to do their transformations, whatever
yeah.
God's called them.
Yeah. I mean that's really the purpose of these sessions, really, is to introduce people to new things and to help people to just see the things that are possible. And so once they hear a testimony, then people can take that testimony and apply it to their own lives and use that testimony as a way of entry for themselves, you know.
Right.
Yes, you have to go through a process of training and preparation, but we can definitely receive those things. And that's really, I think, why in this day where information can pass one end of the world to another in an instant, we get to get progressive revelation released. And I think, you know, Daniel's books, which were sealed, you know, I think are open, because now we're in the information age that we can actually share that all over the world, and introduce people and open people's eyes and enable them to see something new, and then hopefully to desire it and pursue it and embrace it. So I think, you know, we are living in a time where, you know, there is a sound coming out of heaven, and I think that sound is looking to cause us to be drawn to the sound, but we get to participate in being part of that sound. It's like a harmony. And, you know, when I first went into heaven, that was one thing that struck me the most. There was a sound that was just like a symphony of people's destinies that were coming together to produce just an amazing, well, it wasn't like a melody, but it was something which really struck me, that I sensed it, you know. And as people are, you know, deep calls out to deep, and people are coming connected up to those deeper things within their spirit and the deeper things of God, you know, we are beginning to change the frequency of things, because of the unity of that sound and the harmony of aligning with our purpose, you know, and with our destiny and with eternity, and so that the present time, if you like, or the realm in which we live, is supposed to come into harmony with heaven. You know, and the more of us produce that sound are aligned with that sound, the more people here will begin to get drawn, because something will draw them. So there will be a frequency that their spirit will be drawn to. They may not understand it, but something will start drawing them as that sound starts to get amplified through us. You know, I mean, there's all different ways of describing it, but, you know, in terms of, you know, light and but generally it's a frequency, you know, that carries revelation that we get to be part of, you know, because we are, in a sense, co-heirs, and we were given the responsibility for this created realm to administer it. Now we just have to get back to restoring it back to its original purpose and condition, and we get to be manifested as sons to answer the groan of creation, you know, and that groan is what we begin to sense, and it begins to stir us to action to respond as sons of God, you know, and he is manifesting his son so that we can do it. You know, maybe we're just starting out on that journey, but just think, you know, I think back a few years and what I've learned, you know, I've learned more in the last 3 years than I did in the previous 40 in terms of my Christian walk, mm-hmm. You know, which shows the acceleration, you know, and I knew a lot of things before that, and it's just the breadth and the depth of the revelation and the experience of it is the key. That we are now encountering revelation by personal experience, no longer by information. And that's the most important part of all that God's doing. It is experiential and relational, and we get to do it through intimacy with him, which opens these things up. You know, it's great.
Right, yeah, certainly. I was thinking the other day that, you know, having any of these encounters a few years ago, especially 10 years ago, you wouldn't dare have mentioned them to anybody because you would have been labeled so many things.
Mm.
Not complimentary. Now, in the sense of acceleration, what are you sensing for this coming year? You know, with the whole... There's just such a stirring, you know, with the excitement, the possibility, the pregnancy of meaning of these four blood moons, and, you know, in terms of not just that, but other things, acceleration, increased encounters, things like Livebusters, just, you know, beginning to take off globally. There's just so much that just seems to be coming into alignment and speaking.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I had a lot of prophetic encounters at the end of last year, the beginning of this year, which really spoke about government and spoke about the formation of government and God establishing revelatory government. And I think it's a lot of it's to do with the order of Melchizedek and the old order of things essentially coming to an end and a new order being released, and that order is of a different measure, and it's at about administrating for an overflow of the life and outworking of the resources of heaven that we get to begin to administer after the order of Melchizedek. And you know, there's a different dimension that's needed to accompany that, and I think, you know, the order of Melchizedek has no genealogy, and so things like Liebusters and other things are very much about dealing with those things in our past, in our generational bloodlines, seed lines, that will be hindering, and therefore when they're removed, they bring us into a more of a pure heart, if you like, and so that we can be aligned with what God's doing more easily. And so I feel that, you know, the establishing of benches of three, you know, and I saw that at the beginning of the year, that the whole planet began to turn. It was spinning, and I saw benches of three set up, and I saw the whole thing start to spin in the other direction, because it's just a sign that things are changing. You know, there's this whole dimension of new for old. God is giving us new things to replace the old. But we have to be willing to let go of the old. And some of those are our pet doctrines and our ways of seeing things. And we have to be willing to see things in new ways and embrace the new things that God is revealing. And there are early adopters who are willing to do that, who then hopefully will open the door for others to break through into it. You know, it's like, you know, God is raising up a Joshua generation, and that Joshua generation is going to receive its inheritance and help the next generation by passing on, not keeping it to itself, not doing what has happened with every move of God in the past, generally protect it, create a denomination or a theology around it, rather than seeing, no, we're on a journey. And what we know today is what we need to know for the journey today, but there's so much more that we're going to need to know. And so we have to remain open and teachable and willing to embrace what God is revealing in Revelation. So I do believe there is an acceleration. I believe that, you know, there is a prophetic timetable that God has that he's working to, which gives people an opportunity of responding to what he's doing, you know, and I think he always gives people an opportunity, even if they've never responded before, there's an opportunity of responding. And I think that, you know, the first response was coming into intimacy and a revelation of fatherhood and sonship, you know, and I believe that will release the guilt and condemnation that the enemy uses to hinder people, so that people will be brought into a thing of embracing change and transformation and being willing to allow the gathering angels to remove stumbling blocks from us, which is, you know, that process of us being changed and transformed, so that when God's judgment comes, and his judgment is never to death, it's to life, he is going to bring judgment onto the household of God. And I feel that will be a choice for people to embrace the new ways of the kingdom and to embrace this revelation, or not to, and stand in opposition to it. You know, if Jesus came to bring a sword, that sword was not to destroy people, but to draw a line, ultimately, to actually say, no, this is the new covenant. let go of the old one. You know, and there was that 40-year period after Jesus went back into heaven where there was this overlap of covenants, where there was this huge battle going on to keep establishing the old. You know, they sewed up the curtain in the temple. You know, even though it was torn in two to open the veil, they basically sewed it up and they carried on administering the old. Whereas God wanted a new, you know, the new wineskin was that which we are a temple of the Holy Spirit and we have access to the intimate things of God. Well, it's taken a long time to open that up because people kept trying to reintroduce an old covenant system, priests, mediators, rather than the tabernacle of David where the ark was in the presence of everybody and they worshipped openly around the presence of God, rather than it was in a temple and tabernacle and only one high priest could go in. Now we have a high priest who's gone back into heaven, that through his flesh we have a veil that's been torn that we can step in. You know, so I think, you know, we have to be willing to embrace what God is doing. But I'm under no illusions that there will be some people who continue to operate in the religious mindsets that will seek to oppose that. But we have to maintain good attitude and heart and forgiveness and make sure that we don't operate in the same spirit. You know, the political spirit and the religious spirit, you know, the leaven of Herod and the Pharisees was one that Jesus warned his disciples about and they faced in their time and we all face in every generation that we have to overcome. I certainly believe that we're in a time of amazing opportunity, that God is releasing this call to the earth and call out from heaven, the sound of heaven, to come back into relationship, to establish, you know, kingdom as it should be, you know, on earth as it is in heaven. And there are so many new for old things, you know, just old ways we used to look at things are just replaced with new, which has brought us into a deeper revelation of it and intimacy with it rather than information or theory about it. I mean, how many times have we come boldly to the throne of grace and seen that as praying rather than actually coming boldly to the throne of grace and engaging God? And it's just, we had revelation that we could come to God in prayer. Now we've got a deeper revelation that we can actually come to God and meet him, you know, and actually we can talk to him and receive grace and help from him to administer, rather than hoping he's going to answer our prayer and hoping he's heard it. Well, we have no doubt that he's heard it when we deliver it, talk to him face to face. And so there are so many parallels when you see the old things that we're receiving just deeper and deeper revelation of those things, you know, but some people still hold on to the old and don't want to embrace the new. But God is still giving people opportunity, you know. But I do believe that he wants a Joshua generation ready for the harvest. You know, I fully believe there's going to be a billionfold harvest, and they are just going to be the harvesters. But they're going to need a generation to equip them in the supernatural ways of God to administer the kingdom in authority and power. And we get to do that if we're willing. If we're willing to operate in a different spirit, that which Caleb and Joshua had, a different spirit, then we will get to receive our inheritance and be able to bring the next generation into theirs by letting our ceiling, you know, be their floor. And so we stand so they can stand on us to go further. Mm-hmm. And we won't protect that or hide it. We will just freely give what we freely received so that we can enable them to go the whole way. You know, and there are many sort of signs that people can see. You know, I'm not particularly a sort of sign sort of person. I tend to just go and ask God myself. But God does use things to stir people and to challenge people to think differently, and we all get different sort of ways that happens, you know. So I definitely believe that we're in a time that is a really key important time, and that we need to really seriously embrace what God is showing so that we can be the testimony for the next generation. Because there weren't that many. There was only Joshua and Caleb of a whole generation. Then there was a whole new generation who never operated in the same things. All the other generation died. And I think there is a Moses generation that is going to die, never receiving the fullness that they could receive, because they will have operated in the same way that that generation did, not trusting the word of God and seeing the giants and not wanting to go across to face them and deal with them, you know. And I think some of those will be some pretty powerful, amazing ministries that has operated like Moses with signs, wonders, amazing things, but didn't cross because they weren't willing to let go of the old nature of that and embrace the new responsibility that we've got to operate in a different level of authority.
Yeah.
You know, not that I'm against signs and wonders, I love those things, but there's another level. We have to administer in heaven. You know, it's not enough to have heaven invading earth in miracles. It's like we have to go to heaven and be a doorway of heaven, you know, and that's a different dimension of spiritual authority that's being released to us, you know. And I've picked up a number of sort of ministries who seem to be struggling with these new things, even though they've had heavenly encounters themselves, even though they've had pretty amazing spiritual experiences. When it comes to everybody having them, that we're now nameless, faceless people, a new order that actually isn't about making a name for ourselves or having a ministry or establishing anything other than just wanting to serve God out of love, some ministries seem to struggle to let it go. Because, you know, they've built their reputation on certain things. You know, I have got no reputation. I really aren't bothered what anyone really thinks, you know, and I think a lot of people are coming to that. It's not about what other people think, it's about what God thinks. And we're just here to please God, not man. But many people have got, you know, major ministries that I think God is starting to challenge to say, there is a new way. And it is a challenge for some to let go of the old way. But, you know, but we're in that place where that call is going out. And, you know, the majority of people who are responding to it aren't necessarily the big names that have been in the past. You know, so God can use you to go and minister into Japan because you're willing. And it doesn't matter whether anyone knows about it or not, because you get to do what God calls you to do. And so I think there's, we're at a crucial point where what's coming and we've got to be ready for. And so we're being trained and prepared for what's coming, you know.
Yeah.
So we, you know, we operate in spiritual authority in a totally different way from it's been operated before.
Yeah.
But it's exciting. It's an exciting time, you know.
I was just thinking while you were talking, someone I just recently talked to who has many, many, many more encounters and experiences doing things with God, was just recently told, I can't remember the words, but it was about your father, I think, is God telling her that your father is dead, before that she'd been told her mother is dead. Not physically, I don't know if they're living physically, but the whole concept was, and it's what you're talking about, was her groundedness, her earth, her connection to the dust of earth has been severed through what God's done in her life, through her own heart. And I think, you know, is that where God is getting us, is to the point where we can walk in his realm because our anchor to this one specifically, and the physicalness, whether it's the laws or whatever of Earth, the old way of doing society, the old way of doing religion, all of that, those ways are being severed from our freeing us to walk and to get ready to walk in both realms.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, definitely. Because ultimately that's where we're going. Yeah. Many people have had visions of heaven and looked into heaven and looked into the spiritual realm. And now more people are getting visitations. So they're going there and encountering it. But ultimately it's about habitation. It's about living there in both realms, bringing one through, because our spirit and soul body are connected, one, so that there's just this flow that we are a gateway of heaven to manifest heaven on earth. And we do have to be disconnected from that which is old, you know, if we're going to embrace something new and different. And it can be a real challenge, you know. Sometimes we've invested years of our life in a particular doctrine or a particular way of thinking, and all of a sudden God shakes it, and it's like, ugh, I was wrong. And it's like, oh, am I going to be willing to humble myself and say, well, I'm not going to see it as being wrong. I'm going to be seeing it as, that's the revelation I had at the time. Now I have progressive revelation. And so I'm not saying it was wrong, I'm just saying that was the revelation for then, now we need new revelation for now. And therefore I have to be willing to let go of that to embrace what's new. Not try and defend it or maintain it, but be willing to let it go so that I can embrace what God is actually revealing now, and so that we can move forward. You know, and I think the order of Melchizedek has no genealogy. You know, that's the reality. So, yeah, father, mother, and every connection to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and that pathway has to die and has to be removed from our genetic material and removed from our heart and from our memories and from what that which is iniquity in our bloodlines. All that stuff God is dealing with, so that from a pure heart we can see him and engage him and administer out of that, not having anything in us. You know, Jesus was able to say, the enemy has nothing in me. Mm-hmm. And that's what God, and therefore he had the full measure of the Spirit. You know, and none of us can contain the full measure of the Spirit right now, because there are still other things in us that he is dealing with and removing, so that we can receive the full measure of the Spirit as true joint heirs with him, you know, of administering the kingdom. So that the kingdoms of this world actually do, having been discipled, become the kingdoms of our Lord and Christ. And I think that's the dimension we're looking to move into. You know, discipling the nations, you know, which is a totally different concept to making disciples.
Right, and it has to be done from above. It can't be done from the same level.
Absolutely, and that is the new dimension of understanding. Everything has to be as it is in heaven, you know, so it can be manifested on earth. And we get to be involved in the as it is, of establishing the as it is in heaven so that it can be released on earth. You know, it's not like it as it is and it's always been that. It's like God wants us to be actively involved in going there and being involved in the process of administering from our scrolls and our destiny to establish it on earth. And so many things are not as it is in heaven yet, because we've not been there and done what we need to do. You know, because he's called us to have administrative authority over that created realm. He always intended it to be us. Satan did not like that and rebelled so that he could try and usurp that authority that belonged to us. And now we have to deal with that to come into the fullness of the authority that we have in Christ. But it's pretty awesome, really, that we're involved. It's nothing that we've done.
No.
It's just our willingness and to humble ourselves and to say, hey, I know nothing, really, and I'm willing to learn everything, you know. As much as I've learned in the last 3 years and engaged, I realize it is just a fragment of what there is, which means we get to be part of the ever-increasing expansion of his kingdom government, which is just amazing, which is great.
For sure.
Yeah, okay.
Can I ask you one last question?
Okay.
Hiddenness. Is it possible to get to that place of hiddenness in our Father, that before you reach the level of Son and oneness? That progression?
Well, we are...
I don't mean disappearing here. No, I just mean...
Yeah. Well, I think... I think Colossians, our life is hidden with Christ in God. And so positionally, that's always been the case. We just have to experientially catch up with what is already true. And the progression of it comes out of what is already true rather than what we're trying to attain. You know, Jesus has already done everything necessary on the cross for us, but we still have to appropriate it. And it's the process of appropriating what already belongs to us that brings us back into who we already were, you know. And so who were we before we were here? Well, we were already what God intended us to be. We're just coming back into that. So the intimacy of our relationship... we are hidden in him. The more we are transformed, the more we're hidden from the enemy's view, because he cannot see us any longer. So, you know, it's like a similar thing was when we get baptized, you know, in water, it's like, okay, we are baptized into his death and we die. So the enemy has no authority over dead people. And it's very the similar thing. You know, the more we are hidden in him and we find our life in him and we do nothing outside of him and we only do what we see him doing because we go and look to see what he's doing, the more our life is hidden in one sense from the world, but the more he gets to be expressed through us to the world. And I think that's what it should be, the desire of our heart, you know, that we decrease and he increases. And so that people see him, not us. Yeah, we're a channel, but then Jesus was a channel for the Father to work through him. And I think that's ultimately what God wants for us. And so the more intimate we become, I think the more we come into what we already are in Christ. You know, so in him, we are hidden in God. So we need to step into him, which I think is really what happens when we come around the arc of his presence, you know, in the name of God, you know, the yod hey vav hey, but actually in Jesus there's a yod hey shin vav hey, which is actually man, us, in him, in his name, in the center of him, that when we come around the arc of his presence, we step into the center of him. And then we begin to look out from him. So we see through the eyes of the lion, the ox, the eagle, and the man from his heart, being in him, which is like being hidden in him, because people aren't seeing us, are they? They're seeing him. And I think that should be the desires of our heart, for greater dimensions of experiential understanding of that, so we can live it out.
That makes good sense. Thank you.
Okay.
Well, thank you for answering my questions this morning and giving such good feedback. I really come away from this stronger and more firm, you know, in what I see him wanting to do and just in the whole process. Thank you.
Okay, you're very welcome. And we'll hook up again in a couple of weeks.
Okay, hopefully the other ladies will be back on their feet and raring to go.
Yes.